come from Middle Eastern, right? You always get that garbage. Like, you got Indians, we always get made fun of too, right? Like, Indians will bargain. That's the number one thing. You guys, so it's true. Indians bargain anytime, anywhere. We'll bargain while we're getting robbed. I've seen it. Hey, put your hands up. Okay, buddy, hear me out. How about I put one hand up, huh? How about you give me all your shit? How about I give you half my shit, okay? Half my shit. I'll give you half, and you give me your watch, okay? How about that? How about it? How about I shoot you in the face? How about you just stab me and we call it a day, okay? Let's just go home! Hey, that's my time. My name is Kabir Singh. Thank you very much. You guys have been awesome.
Welcome back. It's Predictably Drunk, the podcast. Smart people talking about stupid things once again. I am your host, Sam Marcoux. And it is Marcoux, not Marcoux, as Kabir Singh says. And that clip you just heard was Kabir Singh, Mr. Kabizi himself, off of the Gabriel Iglesias Season 3 Stand-Up Revolution show, which was on Comedy Central late last year in 2014. I believe that was Kabir's Comedy Central debut, if I'm not mistaken. You can hear from the clip that the crowd was just eating up whatever he was shitting out. Just a great set by him. In fact, that set opened up a lot of eyes to Kabir and his brand of comedy. He's going to be recording his album with Comedy Central Records, I believe out of Boston sometime in October. So that'll be exciting for him. About a month ago now, he got off the phone with Seth MacFarlane of Family Guy fame, of Ted and Ted 2 fame, of American Dad fame. Yeah, that Seth MacFarlane. And Seth actually offered Kabir a job with Family Guy. He's already started to record some voice actor work. Shockingly enough, I believe he's playing an Indian guy. So I guess they're... I guess they wanted to be as authentic as they possibly could. So Kabir is going to be on the next season of Family Guy as a voice actor. I think he's also going to be contributing as a writer. We were talking in the car on our way up to the Sacramento Punchline here not too long ago, and he was telling me the writing process that he went through and the pitch process that he had to go through with the other writers and people that are involved with the show and creating that show. And in true to Kabir's form, just hilarious how he tells the stories of how they got to some of the conclusions that they got to and where he fits in and all that fun stuff. So that'll come in time. I still have plans to interview him for this podcast. He's actually been kind of chomping at the bit to be on. Every time we go to do it, the problem is we're usually on the road or in the car. We're in the green room, which would be a great place to do it, but we end up not being able to sit still for too long. So at some point we'll pin each other down, which sounds very erotic, and do this podcast, and we'll get Kabir on here. He's great on the radio. He's great on TV. In fact, he just made an appearance on KTVU Channel 2, which is the local Fox affiliate here for the San Francisco Bay Area, and was on there promoting some of the shows that I'm on. So thank you, Kabir, for A, getting me on the shows, and B, getting on TV and promoting it and being funny and everything that you do. So but enough of kissing Kabir Singh's ass here. It's been 3 minutes into this podcast, and we've played a clip of Kabir. We've talked about what he's doing and all the successes that he's having. I would rather talk about all the successes that I'm having and all walks of life. All kinds of fun stuff's happening for me. If you are a frequent listener to this show, you probably realize that there was not a podcast last week. I think the last one we did was with Christopher Pilney. And first of all, I want to say thank you to Christopher Pilney. I thought that was a great episode. ChristopherPilney.com. In fact, I think he's starting his own podcast for RedOrbit.com, where he's editor-in-chief. I talked to him a little bit since his appearance on here, and it sounds like they're moving forward with that. So I'd like to think that maybe his appearance on here inspired him on some level. If so, great. And Christopher's a funny dude. His essays that he writes, his blog that he writes, are just some great stories. We talked a little bit about him on the air. If you didn't listen to it, go back and listen to it. Just a hilarious guy. And before that, Ed Roman of edroman.net, the Canadian musician who was on the show. His people actually contacted me, and I thought Ed was an interesting guy, so I hope you guys appreciated that interview and got something out of it, because we don't always have musicians on the show. This isn't a music heavy show. It's a comedy heavy show in terms of interviewing people here in the Bay Area, as well as humorists and everything else. But I think the show is actually starting to morph a little bit, starting to change, and maybe kind of shed its comic skin and become more of a general interest show, which I'm okay with. You know, there's every podcast out there is a general interest show, so I'd like to have, you know, a little bit of a niche market of talking to the comedians around here. But, you know, if the show goes in that direction, that's fine. And the reason I say that is I was recently got an email from a guy named Dave Pounder. And I know what you're thinking. You're hearing the name Dave Pounder. Wow, that sounds like a porn star name. And the reason why it sounds like a porn star name is because it is absolutely 100% a porn star name. Dave Pounder is a porn star. And he shot me an email and wants to be on the show. He's got a book project that he's working on. He seemed like an interesting guy. I mean, I think I would have had him on even if he'd just been in one porno, but he actually has been in over 100 different porn movies. He's been nominated for some AVN awards, the Adult Video News Awards, which is like basically the Oscars of the fuck movies. He's got his own production company. Dude's got a master's degree and is actually was accepted into the doctorate program at some legitimate college in Canada. So the guy's not only a background in fucking on TV for money, but he's got kind of an interesting background in terms of education as well. So I've got some questions for this cat. I think it's going to be a fun interview. He seems like a pretty easygoing guy. We got to figure out a time to do it. We're thinking sometime in August we're going to get together and do that interview. But really, again, not comedy. I have a couple of actresses. Their agents have reached out to me. They want to be on the show. Nothing major. We're not talking Julia Roberts or anything like that. But we got some people who've been in some movies, some legit productions as well. So we're going to start maybe bringing this into a more general interest show as opposed to just drinking and comedy. Speaking of drinking, a couple of things. First of all, I really haven't been drinking. I've been doing a lot of comedy, a lot of TV watching, which I'll talk about in a little while. But I haven't been drinking, so I haven't been living up to the predictably drunk name, especially not beer. I've been drinking a little bit on the hard liquor, you know, maybe like a shot before a show or something like that, but that's about it. But the show is predictably drunk. We do talk about drunken stories, and I figured I'd share this story because this has just happened to me, and these just give you a little insight into the maniacs that I hang out with in comedy. So I've talked about him. He's been on the show. He's actually going to have a recurring segment on my Predictably Drunk Football show, the show that got me started in comedy altogether this upcoming season. Of course, I'm talking about the great Jeremy Curry, where we just went up to the Sacramento Punchline along with Kabir Singh and Jeremy's cousin, Abel Jaramillo, who's also been on the show. And we're doing a little road trip for a night. We had a one-night-only gig at the Sacramento Punchline. We get there a little bit early, so of course, naturally, Jeremy wants to go find a casino because Jeremy is a degenerate gambler and maybe a psychopath when it comes to drinking while gambling. So he's gambling a little bit, nothing crazy. I mean, he maybe lost a couple shillings, but nothing crazy. I mean, 20, 30, 40 bucks, something like that. By far for him, that is a very tame amount of money to lose. But he was drinking. And Jeremy doesn't get drunk a lot, but when he drinks a lot, oh my God. You know, Hurricane Jeremy Curry. So we haven't even gotten to the show yet, and the guy's trashed. Can't keep his pants on. Pants are falling off. And every time his pants fall off, he's just going, "I'm in training." That's how he talks. "I'm in training. I'm losing all the weight." And it's like, no, you're not. You're just a fat ass who forgot to put a belt on, and your fat belly's pushing your jeans out. Your fat's trying to escape the confines of denim, you fat, drunken hippo. But he did his set. He actually kept it together for his set, which I did not think he was going to be able to do. But he did, so I'll give him credit there. And then, of course, he wants to go drinking after the show. And the guy's so obnoxiously drunk that he actually left his cell phone and he left his shirt and he left his bag in the green room at the Sacramento Punchline. Everybody left. He had to go up there. I think it was like a maintenance worker working in the strip mall that the Sacramento Punchline is in and allowed him to go in and get his stuff. Otherwise, we would have been up Schitt's Creek again because the same exact fucking thing happened in Reno about a month or two earlier. But he gets his stuff, and he wants to go to Applebee's to continue to drink. I figure, you know what, this is a good idea because we're going to walk into Applebee's. They're going to see this just trashed individual and throw him right out, and then I can get in the car and we can drive home. Except that's not what happened. Applebee's was like, come on in. We got crazy crap on the walls, and we don't give a shit what you look like in terms of your physical nature. We'll give you jello shots just for walking in the door. So Applebee's, I think, is Italian for enablers. So Jeremy ordered some shots. He drank some more. He ate a salad, which I knew immediately. Once he ordered a salad, I was like, okay, this guy is not going to keep salad down for too long. He didn't buy the salad. He leased it. He's going to return it at some point. So I had a stern talking with Jeremy, and I said, Jeremy, we are leaving to go home soon. You are absolutely not allowed to throw up in my car. And he's like, bro, I'm not going to throw up. I don't throw up. I'm a professional. So we leave Sacramento. I get on the freeway. Maybe 5 minutes into getting on the freeway, what is this idiot doing? He's throwing up. Wouldn't you imagine that? Wow. Well, what happened, Jeremy? I thought you were a professional. As it turns out, he is a professional, but a professional thrower-upper. This dude threw up from West Sacramento to Fremont, California. So for people listening to this and don't know that distance, that's about an hour and a half straight of puking. I'm talking no breaks. I don't even think he took a breath. And what's very weird about the way Jeremy throws up is, first of all, I'll give him credit. He did not throw up in my car. The lawyer in me sees where I fucked up because he threw up on the outside of my car, meaning he stuck his head out the back window and just let all of the vomit fall out of his mouth and just cake the side of my car. It just looked like a disgusting, rotted out piece of fruit by the end of it. It was just everywhere. It got into the gas tank. It got into, like, the people that were driving behind me must have just hated life because this stuff was just flying everywhere. It looked like rotted kale. It was disgusting because the salad came back up. So, Jeremy, if you're listening to this, you owe me a car wash or two. I've washed most of it off, but some of it's still just there. So I want you to come and wash that off with your tongue, you disgusting pig. But the best part about it is we did have a photo. I don't have it. He's going to kill me. He doesn't want me to put it online. And I did for a little bit, and he asked me to take it down. And since I'm a nice guy, I took it down. But essentially, I'll describe the photo to you. And it's basically Jeremy Curry passed out looking like a dead person in the backseat of my car. Vomit all over his mouth, chin, his second chin, his fourth chin. Somehow missed the third chin. And then down the front of his white shirt, his white pristine shirt, which is now stained yellow. Looks like he poured coffee all over it. That's how much puke was coming out of him. He's got a nice glistening brow going on because he's sweating. It was like the most exercise he's ever had was throwing up for an hour and a half. And then the shirt is one of those obnoxious Nike shirts that's got those like stupid phrases that they're going with now, that the big block letters like run more than your mouth and all that dumb shit. So it's got that, but it's a white shirt with purple writing that says, you can't stop me, which is the most ironically hilarious photo op ever, because clearly he was stopped. He was passed out. Wasn't sure if he was even breathing at this point. Vomit all over him, especially over the part that says, you can't stop me. So I love that photo. If I ever make a comedy album, I swear to you this, to my loyal audience here, that will be the photo that's on the cover of my album. A picture of fat, bloated, drunk Jeremy Curry with vomit all over him and a shirt that says, you can't stop me. In fact, that might be the name of the title. That might be the title of the actual comedy album, You Can't Stop Me, with that photo. But all's good, man. Jeremy's a great guy. He got me started in comedy. I love the guy to death. He's a maniac. Just had a little bit too much to drink, and he paid for it, I think, the next day, too. I can't imagine that hangover was so great. But speaking of hangovers, the Hangover Tour, Predictably Drunk, the comedy tour, is still happening. August 19th, I'm going to be at Tommy T's in Pleasanton again. I know I get shit about being there all the time, but you know what? They're a great club. They got a lot of people coming through, and they've got an awesome headliner in Jason Lawhead who's coming through. If you don't know Jason Lawhead, he is on the Bill Burr Monday Morning Podcast. He opens and features for Bill Burr quite a bit. Pretty big name within the comedy realm. He's going to be headlining a show on Wednesday, August 19th. I'm going to be a part of it, so that's a big honor for me. 2 days later is a huge show in San Jose. This is one you want to get to. Not that you don't want to go to the other one. If you're in the Pleasanton area, go to the Jason Lawhead show. But if you're in the San Jose, Santa Clara, Monterey, Milpitas, Peninsula area, you want to go to JJ's Blues on Friday, August 21st. I believe the ticket is $10, but it's myself. It's Michael Gilkison, who's been on this podcast. He's got his own podcast, In the Galaxy Podcast. He's actually producing this show. It's going to be a fantastic lineup. It's Michael Gilkison. It's myself. Frankie Marcos, the young buck for himself. Go Frank Yourself, the whole Go Frank Yourself movement. He's going to be on the show. And then headlined, of course, by Kabir Kabizi Singh, who you heard at the top of this show. That's a Friday, August 21st. And then I got added on August 23rd, that Sunday, to the Big Bad and Sexy Tour, which I was very flattered because I'm not that big and I'm not that bad. So I must be the sexy part of that equation. But I want to thank Big Worm. That's right, Big Worm, for putting me on his showcase there at the San Jose Improv on August 23rd. And then we're going to cap just a chaotic week of comedy on August 27th. At Cobb's Comedy Club in San Francisco. Absolutely love that stage. I've never had a bad time at Cobb's, either as an audience member or as a performer. I'm going to be hosting that night. I love hosting at Cobb's. They love me hosting at Cobb's because I'm awesome at it. And it's just going to be a great night. So if you're in San Francisco, August 27th, it's a Thursday, come on out, support your boy. I need a big audience for San Francisco. I don't know why. I just want a big audience there. I want a big audience at all my shows, but I want a big audience on August 21st, and I want a big audience on Cobb's August 27th. So those are the dates I got coming up in August. My July dates, I'm kind of finishing up. I'm going to be taking a break on the second half of July to focus on some of the other projects that I'm working on, including the football show. Jeremy Curry is going to have a segment on there, so I'm producing some of the graphics and stuff for that. We got pretty aggressive filming schedule that we're going to do with him in early August. We're going to pre-tape all of his stuff, get it in the can, so I don't have to look at him every single week. I can just look at him for a couple of days, endure the ugliness, get all of his segments done, and we'll move forward with our lives from there. I've been working on a script for a show that I'm working on. That I'm hoping to develop into something. My plan is to write out about 10 episodes, film 5, and then show it to some people. I think it's a really good idea. It's a big undertaking. It probably will not happen until 2016, to be honest with you. But something to look forward to. I've been working on that kind of on the side, keeping it under wraps, but it's to a point now where I think some people are going to start seeing some of the scripts that I'm working on, so I might as well talk about it. So that'll be exciting. You'll hear me talk about that from time to time. I got a bunch of new equipment. I'm turning into a fucking dork. I got a bunch of like video equipment, sound equipment, new microphones, new boom mics, new lighting rigs. My entire little studio here that I record this podcast in is quickly turning into like a hoarder for electronics. They're going to have to do an intervention on me, I think. But it's all for the greater good, man. Just trying to develop content, trying to get you guys entertained. As well as myself entertained, which hopefully we're doing that. And speaking of which, I figured, you know, I talk a lot about comedy on this show for obvious reasons, talk a lot about drinking, but a lot of times I throw references out there and people may not get them. So I actually had a few questions from people as to some of the comedy terms that I use. So I figured I would define those for you. So define them as I see them. We'll put it that way. So for example, if you are blowing the light, that doesn't mean that you are giving oral sex to a light bulb or anything like that. What it means is, as a comedian, you get time, right? 10 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever it may be, and you go on stage. And typically, there's a person who's going to flash a light, flash a flashlight, throw a cell phone light on, whatever the case may be, about when you have a minute or 2 minutes left. And that is your cue. It's like a yellow light if you're driving in traffic. That is your cue to, you know, that you're about to stop. That's what it means. And it's usually 1 or 2 minutes long. So if somebody's running the light and say you got a 2 minute light, once that light comes on, that triggers you on stage as the performer to know that, okay, I got to go into my last bit. I got to wrap this up. I got a minute. I got 2 minutes, whatever the case may be, whatever you agreed upon. Blowing that light means that the light has come and gone. Your 1 minute or 2 minutes have come and gone, and you are still on stage. You're still talking. You're still just ignoring the fact that you're not supposed to be on stage, and you're being an asshole. That's what blowing the light essentially is you're being an asshole. And now you can blow the light accidentally. That's happened. I've done it where you just didn't see the light. But as soon as you see the light, at that point, you get off stage immediately because you have no idea how long you've blown that light for. Or you can be like some of the people that I do comedy with who just say, fuck it, I'll do whatever I want to do whenever I want to do it. And they'll continue to talk, continue to bore the audience and alienate themselves from other comedians. So blowing the light is one of the cardinal sins of comedy. Of course, one of the other ones is stealing jokes from other people. You definitely don't want to do that. You definitely don't want to get caught doing that. There's a few comedians recently within our circle here in California that got caught, and it wasn't pretty because it was painfully obvious that they were stealing material from other people. So you don't want to steal material, and if you're going to steal material, don't blow the light while telling other people's jokes. Some other terms, you know, I throw around headliner, opener. I think people understand what those mean, right? Your headliner is exactly that. That's the person that's on the marquee. That's the person that's you usually paid to come see. They're usually going to be the last act of the night. And then you have your opener, which is your first guy. Now, that's different than the host. The host is somebody that the host is technically the first person. So the host will go up, warm up the crowd. How's everybody doing? People drinking? What are you guys celebrating? And what they're doing is they're trying to pick information for the rest of the people that are on that dais. So that if, you know, if somebody's out there and he hits a couple sports jokes and everybody responds, maybe somebody will throw some more sports stuff in their set. If people are doing birthdays, if there's a corporate event going on in the crowd, you know, your host is trying to figure out what people are there to see, who, you know, what type of humor they like, and move on from there. And then your opener is the first person that that host brings up. So you've got your host and then you've got your opener. And your opener, you're usually doing about, depending on the night, you're usually doing 5 to 10 minutes and you get off stage. Then you have your feature act. Your feature is somebody that's usually picked by the headliner. And the feature is usually doing 15 to 20 minutes. And I think it's kind of self-explanatory with what a feature is. But a feature act is somebody that the headliner basically wants to put a, you know, put a spotlight on and say, hey, this guy's funny. You should check this guy out. Sometimes the features are actually headliners in other clubs, and they'll just feature for somebody else. It's kind of, you know, they can be interchangeable in that regard. But that's what a feature is, and that's different than a showcase, which I think people get confused when I talk about featuring and showcasing. Showcase, you don't do as much time as a feature. Showcases are, in my opinion, kind of a glorified open mic. And what I mean by that is that there's usually a shit ton of comedians that are on a showcase, anywhere from 7 to, I've seen them as much as 15. And I can't imagine sitting through 15 comedians in one night. The audience must have just hated themselves after that. That's a lot of depression to be toting up and down the stage all night. But a showcase is good because, you know, you get a lot of people out there. You kind of get a flavor for the different types of comedians that are out there. And typically a showcase is going to lead to, you know, them promoting themselves where they're going to be doing a larger bit somewhere else. But it's kind of like a glorified open mic because you don't get a lot of time. And there are a lot of comedians that are vying for these spots. The reason why it's not an open mic, though, is that an open mic is something you physically go to, sign up for, and you could be anybody. You could be some hack off the street that's never done comedy before, sign up and get on an open mic. Whereas a showcase, you're usually invited. You usually have, you know, a name out there as a comedian. So it's a little bit different, but it's almost the same in my opinion. And then, of course, you've got your open micers, which is, you know, open mics are great. You know, especially if you got new material, you want to work on some timing, or you're brand new and you have no idea what to do or how to get into a comedy club and nobody knows you or trusts you, go to an open mic. But yeah, those are the different terms that you hear a lot from me. There's some other ones, maybe we'll talk about them. If you guys get interested and you want to hear more about that type of stuff, we'll do that going forward. And then, like I said, we've got some different guests that are going to be coming on this show at some point. Well, not at some point, just throughout. We're going to have, maybe more musicians, maybe more actors, maybe just some people that I find interesting on the street. We'll do all kinds of fun stuff. I'm going to be taking this podcast. My other idea for this podcast is, as much as I enjoy kind of doing it in this studio format, I'd like to actually start going to some events, like, whatever they're, taco truck events or beer festivals, whatever the case may be, where I can set up and maybe get a press pass or something and interview people that are going to these festivals and get some of that footage and kind of intersplice that into this too. So I've got some ideas for this podcast moving forward that I think will be fun. As always, if you're listening to me, check out In the Galaxy podcast with Michael Gilkison and Jay Williams. Also, check out filmbeef.com. I want to give those guys some credit because I'm on Twitter a lot. I don't really do a lot on Twitter. I'm trying to do more with that. I was live tweeting the Home Run Derby, which was actually a lot of fun this year. The Home Run Derby is usually just a complete bore, and they changed the format if you're into sports, and now it's a timed event, so you get 4 minutes to hit as many home runs as you can, and you're up against another guy. So it was kind of cool, and then I was actually very proud of my tweets during the live tweet. So, if you follow me on Twitter, Tiger Clomedy on Twitter, you can go back and relive my glorious wittiness that I was throwing out there and pontificating during the Home Run Derby for Major League Baseball. And I talk a lot about the different shows that I'm on, but Film Beef is a website. They have a podcast as well, and they released a bunch of footage from Comic-Con. Footage that wasn't supposed to get out there, like the Suicide Squad movie preview, Batman versus Superman, Deadpool, all these just great movies that are coming out in 2016. And I'm going to give them credit because they're the ones who I saw on Twitter throwing those movie previews out there. And now a lot of them got pulled offline. And in fact, I think some of the official movie trailers have now been released. But probably because of sites like filmbeef.com that, kind of broke that mold and said, here's the 3-minute movie preview for Suicide Squad. So awesome. Shout out to those guys. And then what else is going on? Some of the TV shows that are out there, True Detective season 2, pretty good. Not as good as the first season, but it's hard to top that first season. That was like a movie every single week. Colin Farrell is acting his ass off in season 2. His mustache is glorious. It deserves, in my opinion, maybe a nomination from the Academy for Best Supporting Actress in an actor in a drama. The dude is just carrying that show. The plot seems a little bit convoluted to me. Vince Vaughn's not very good as a dramatic actor in this. The other players are fine, but it just doesn't have a very good plot to me. It doesn't have a good story. They're making up for it with a lot of fucking violence and sex, which is awesome. But it's a pretty cheap ploy. You can tell it doesn't have the depth as the first one with Woody Harrelson and Matthew McConaughey. And that's fine. Like I said, that was on another level. But it's still shot remarkably well. It's beautifully written in terms of how it's actually filmed. And then it also has a great soundtrack. T. Boone Pickens doing an amazing job for True Detective Season 2. I watched Ballers with The Rock, and I thought I was going to like that because it's got The Rock, it's got the Miami Dolphins, it's got HBO, and really, I don't think that show's that good. I wouldn't say it sucks, but it's not that great. You're not missing anything. I think the title is even dumb. They should have come up with something else, but the only interesting thing about that show so far is that I read that HBO is just flat out using the Miami Dolphins and NFL logos without their permission. Which the NFL is like the mafia. They control everything. You can't say Super Bowl without getting fucking sued. So I'm going to have to edit that out of this podcast. But HBO is just kind of like, we got fuck you money. What are you going to do? You going to sue us? Sure, go ahead. Try to sue us. So I thought that was kind of ballsy on HBO's part. But that's about the only thing ballsy about Ballers. The rest of it is just kind of like, it could be better. And now I said that, and they've already renewed it for season 2. So somebody's watching it. If you didn't watch Silicon Valley season 2, it's over now, but go back and watch it on HBO Go. I'm sure they'll replay it on HBO. Just a fantastic show, half hour comedy. I talked about that before on here. And then Ray Donovan. Ray Donovan just came back, and Ray Donovan's kind of cool. It's on Showtime. It's season 3. It looks remarkable, just like season 1 and 2. It looks like they're picking up right where they left off. They did a cool thing where they actually released it on YouTube a week before they debuted it on Showtime itself. And what was interesting about that is they just released it and didn't promote it. They didn't do a viral campaign. They just put it out there into the ether. And if people found it, great. If they didn't, then no big deal. And what they did is I found it 4 days after it was put on YouTube, and there was only like 55,000 views, which was surprising to me. You know, it's usually something like that would be in the hundreds of thousands, if not millions of views, and it would blow up. But they didn't do it that way. They just put it out there and said, if people find it, great. If they don't, then screw it. They can watch it on Showtime, which I thought was kind of cool. But that, those are the shows I've been watching. A lot of sports. You know, I watched a little bit of the Major League Baseball All-Star Game because there was absolutely nothing else on. I watched the Home Run Derby for professional purposes of tweeting about it. And that's it. I did a lot of comedy, and then I talked a little bit about the movies. And then I don't know if I mentioned my kid kicked my ass. I'll end with this story. She had the remote, and she kept changing the channel, and she was getting frustrated because she was wanting to watch a show called Color Crew, which is a bunch of these moronic little crayons, and they color the pictures wrong, and then the eraser comes by and has to erase the crayons, and then they paint it correctly. It's a dumb show, but she's two, so she loves it. But she kept changing the channel, so I eventually took the remote from her. I was like, look, I'm helping you out. You know, I'll put it on Color Crew. And I went to walk away, and I hear this anger coming from behind me, like a Tasmanian devil. And she reaches from behind and grabs my sack. Like, she grabs with her hand, she grabbed like a testicle and part of my wiener and just started squeezing as hard as she could possibly squeeze in this, like, remoteless rage. The only thing I can describe is like a pit bull holding onto a piece of meat. Like, she would not let go, to the point where it crippled me. Like, I couldn't stand. I put out some weird whimper and I dropped to my knees. I'm pretty sure I coughed up a lung and I went blind in both eyes. And she was screaming about how the remote was hers, you know, normal 2-year-old nonsense. And but anyhow, she kicked my ass. She like took one of my testicles with her. I was like, oh my God. So I'm terrified of my child. My baby kicked my ass for like the fifth time since she turned two. I'm losing fights to a 2-year-old. And I'm not like on purpose, like I'm getting my ass kicked. So I guess I got to go back to the gym, or I got to hire a bodyguard. I don't know what's going on, but, and I love my daughter, but Jesus Christ, I guess she doesn't want to have any siblings. But yeah, got my ass kicked by my daughter again. It's embarrassing. So, oh well, I guess that's it. We just banged out this episode. This is Predictably Drunk. I am Sam Marcoux. This is Smart People Talking About Stupid Things. Go on sammarcoux.com and find out all the different tour dates I got coming up for comedy. Click on the old podcast if you're a new listener. Thank you. And listen to the old ones. Check out my Instagram. I put photos and videos of some of my shit that's on there. Not my shit, not like actual shit, because that would get reported, but like my stuff, you know, the proverbial shit, if you will. Facebook, you can find me on Facebook at sam.marcoux, Twitter at tigerclomedy. You can go to the Tumblr page. There's a predictablydrunk.tumblr.com. I'm using that a little bit more, just putting stupid shit up there. You know, there's like a cat that falls into a birthday cake. I put it up there because it makes me giggle like a girl. And that's it. That's my social media outreach to you guys right now. You can find this on iTunes under Predictably Drunk. If you're listening to it on iTunes, please give me a review. We're trying to blow this thing up a little bit more than it already has. You can find me on Stitcher if you happen to use Stitcher. And then also sammarcoux.com, which I think the majority of you are listening through sammarcoux.com. Are you not? Yeah, you're listening through sammarcoux.com. All right, this is Predictably Drunk, smart people talking about stupid things. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, keep drinking.